ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
हरे कृष्ण। टेक्स्ट 53। नाहं वेदैर्न तपसा न दानेन nor by undergoing serious penances, nor by charity, nor by worship. It is not by these means that one can see me as I am. Text 54. Bhaktya tvananjaya shakya ahamevam vidhorjuna ज्ञातुं द्रष्टुं च तत्त्वेन प्रवेष्टुं च परन्तप। माय डियर अर्जुन, ओनली बाय अनडिवाइडेड डिवोशनल सर्विस कैन आई बी अंडरस्टूड एज आई एम स्टैंडिंग बिफोर यू एंड कैन दस बी सीन डायरेक्टली। ओनली इन दिस वे कैन यू एंटर इनटू द मिस्ट्रीज ऑफ माय अंडरस्टैंडिंग। So in the previous verse we were talking about Krishna's Saumya Vapu or Saumya Rupam. So here Krishna is saying that such a form as this, 200 form, cannot be seen by any of these things. If you go back a few verses before, same thing he tells about the Vishwarupa also. See text number 48, if you see. Na veda yajna jayanair na danair na chakriya birna tapo virugrai evam rupa shakya ham daloke drashtum pradanjena kuru pravira. He said similar things. He says that, you know, no one before you has ever seen this form, neither by studying the Vedas, nor by sacrifice, nor by charity, nor by pious activities, nor by severe penances can I be seen in this world. So unless the Lord reveals that form of Virat Rupa and gives the particular type of eyes to see, no one can see, he said. And here the Lord is talking about his two-handed form. He says that you cannot see me by any of these qualifications, by studying Vedas or by tapas, or by dan, or by official worship. By any of these things, one cannot understand me. So that doesn't mean one should not do these things. Yajna dana tapascheva pavanani manishinam. It is said by Krishna himself in the 18th chapter. Yajna dana tapascheva pavanani means one becomes pavitra by performing this yajna, dana, tapa and all those things. In fact, by performing thousands of lifetimes of yajna, dana, tapa, then one becomes gradually cleansed, gradually purified, little by little by little. And then in such a state, if one comes in contact with a devotee, then the spark of Krishna Bhakti can be kindled in one's heart. But the point here Krishna is making, here the meaning of this can be understood if you go to this purport, 603, page number 603 below. At the bottom you can see, the word na used repeatedly in the previous verse indicates that one should not be very much proud of such credentials as an academic education in Vedic literature. One must take to the devotional service of Krishna. Only then can one attempt to write commentaries on Bhagavad Gita. See? This is the meaning of this. Saying, na aham vedai, na tapasa, na danyena, na chajiya. One should not be proud of any of these things. If one feels proud of these things, then there is no scope of one even getting devotional service at any time. One may lose the opportunity. So even if one possesses all these qualifications, one should not be proud. We can see many, many examples for each of this. One striking example comes to my mind for the learned scholar. You know, Roma Harshana was a disciple of Vedavyas. He was a very learned scholar. He was told to speak on Bhagavatam. So when he was sitting on the Vyasasana and speaking, at the time Lord Balaram comes there, and all the ascetics and sages and rishis, munis, everyone stands up. Even the elderly people, they stand up and they are giving prayers and blessings to Balaram. Everyone is standing up except Roma Harshana, sitting in his seat. So Prabhupada writes that how he had become very proud of his scholarship. So if one becomes very proud of one's scholarship, then such a scholarship is considered to be like the diamond on the top of the hood of a poisonous snake. Nari, what is it? Maninam bhushita sarpa kim asona bhayankara, it is said. Maninam bhushita sarpa, the money that is decorating a snake. It's like that. So it's very dangerous for the people. The scholar is very proud. He doesn't know the proper etiquette, proper behavior, proper respect to the great personalities. Then such a person's scholarship is useless. There are so many scholars who give lectures to make the masses cry tears. They can move the heart of the masses. But whether they are proper Vaishnavas has to be checked. So Roma Harshana behaved like that. So this goes to show how even if one is a very great scholar, such a scholarship is useless. And we can give similar examples for each of this. For tapas, for austerity, for dan, for giving charity. And here Ijaya actually means official worship. Prabhupada writes in one of the purports, one should not become an official meditator or an official visitor to the temple. So there are many official visitors to the temple. They come to the temple, they stand in front of God, they worship, and they just go back. They don't have any understanding of who is Krishna, the person Krishna. They don't know the nature of the Lord. They don't know who is a devotee. They don't know the nature of a devotee. They don't know the loving relationship that exists between the Lord and his devotee, and how the Lord orchestrates the lives of devotees. They don't know anything. They just come in a very official way, because they know that they come in a pious family. They just come in front of God. Any temple they come, any deity, it doesn't matter. You have to just go in front of God. And sometimes you close your eyes and pray and don't even see who the deity is, and you walk away. So there are people who do official meditation and worship like that. So any of these things cannot help one to understand Krishna. In fact, there are people who have mastered all the six systems of philosophy. They can participate in debates, arguing on each of them. But somehow, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Vedesha Sarvair, Ahameva Vedyo. After studying all the Vedas, am I to be known? They miss the essence, Krishna. Prabhupada writes in many places, the missing element is Krishna, that they miss. Similarly, there are many people, very severe penances they perform, but they misunderstand not only the Lord, they misunderstand his devotee also. Like Saubarimuni performed severe penance, but he offended the Lord's great devotee, Garuda, by giving him a curse. So Prabhupada says, how no one can curse the Lord's devotee. one curses the Lord's devotee, that curse will only come back on the person who curses him. And that led to the fall down of Saubhari Muni. So, there are people who perform severe penances, people who give abundant charity. Karna was known for his charity, Danavir, isn't it? So much he is glorified for his dana. There is a story often they say about Karna, what kind of dana he was. You all know very well how Duryodhana and Karna were thick friends, isn't it? It is said they were such thick friends. Actually, Duryodhana, in the beginning, it was only for a kind of desire to get help from Karna that Duryodhana gave him support. He kept the crown on his head and made him Angaraj, and made him a king of Anga. And Karna really felt a kind of gratitude towards Duryodhana, that you saved my prestige at the right time. For a Kshatriya, prestige is a very great thing. So he felt, now my life is surrendered to Duryodhana. Whatever he says, I will do. Later it is said, they both became very, very thick friends. It is one time, Duryodhana had gone to forest. So Karna was playing dice. And there was Duryodhana's wife. And there were two, three others playing. So, while playing, Duryodhana's wife lost the game. And she stood up and she was walking away. And Karna did not want to leave her. He said, no, 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 you cannot escape. This is the time you are losing now. You are trying to escape. No, you have to play. And when she was going away, he caught her, this thing, lower part of the sari, calling her in haste. So that time some of the pearls in her sari fell off, started rolling in the ground. So according to the Vedic custom, if somebody touches someone's sari and the pearls fall away, it is as good as a person has mistreated her. So that is the time Duryodhana enters. And then tears glide down from Karna's eyes. Actually, Karna always treats her like a babi only, like a brother's wife. He had no misunderstanding. But now he thought that the pearls have fallen away. What will Duryodhana think about me? He thought, and Duryodhana comes and gives him a big embrace and says, my dear brother, I would never mistake you for what has happened. It's just an accident. He says, and Karna feels very grateful. So in this way, Karna and Duryodhana were very thick friends. But you see, even amongst thick friends, there can be envy sometimes. So Karna had his own palace and Duryodhana had his own palace. So Karna Duryodhana saw that nobody comes to him for asking charity. Everyone goes to Karna's palace. And the whole Hastinapura was glorifying only Karna for his charitable disposition. So Duryodhana became very upset. He called all his ministers and said, bring all my wealth. Now I am going to give charity like Karna. I am going to beat him in giving charity. So this way he started giving charity. And some people are coming, but not so many. Still people are going to him. So he was asking the ministers, why people are not coming to me? What makes them go only to Karna? So one day a Brahmana came. He came to him and said, I have some firewood and I don't have any place to store. And I want to keep this in some place. Can you please help me? And Duryodhana said, what's the problem? Keep it all here behind my courtyard. And he kept all the firewood there. And it was a rainy season. And there was a heavy rain. And everywhere there was heavy rain. And after a week, that person, Brahmana, came back. And he said, Madam King, now I want my firewood back. Please give me. And then Duryodhana showed him and it was all totally wet. And Duryodhana anyway gave it to him. The Brahmana said, what will I do with this? I want to perform yajna. But what will I do with this firewood? It's all totally wet. then the Brahmana actually demanded dry firewood. And Duryodhana sent his messengers all around and nowhere he could get dry. Because of heavy rains, everywhere all the firewood had become totally drenched. Right. Then he told the Brahmana, sorry, I cannot give you. I don't find it anywhere. Then Brahmana said, what is your use of your being Dani? If I had gone to Karna, he would have helped me. Then that really made Duryodhana very angry. long can I give you? You know, you go and ask him, let me see whether he gives or not. Then the Brahmana went to him and told the whole story. You know, he said, I had given my firewood to somebody and that person couldn't give back. Now I want some firewood, can you provide me? And Duryodhana was watching, let me see what's happening. And in the meantime, the Brahmana very happily was returning with a bullock cart, filled with two cartload fulls of firewood, and he was returning back. Not only that, they were covered with, you know, animal skins in the top and everything, so that, you know, again they will not get wet, you know. And he was wondering, he wanted to see how Karna could give dry wood. He was wondering. Then he went and asked the Brahmin, and Brahmin said, just see, I went to Karna and he gave me this. Then immediately went to Karna's palace to see what had happened. There he found, you know what Karna did? He told the minister to break a pillar, break a few pillars and take that timber and cut them into pieces and make a firewood and give it to him. Because the Brahmana's yajna is the most important thing. And he told him, you take it and you... So he was ready to... He was even ready to forego the beauty of his palace to give dan like that. So, Karna is very famous for his dana virata, for giving dan like that. But still, Krishna says here, na danena. You may be a dana vir, but you will not understand me. Because the very same Karna once was taken, actually Karna went to draw Krishna in the frontiers. At that time, Krishna taking that opportunity of being alone with Karna, he told Karna, Karna, let me tell you the greatest truths which no one knows. Do you know you have that blanket which you have tried with so many women who claim to be your mother and all of them are burnt to ashes? I can tell you who your actual mother is. I know your mother. And he said, your mother is Kunti. When Karna heard it, it was like a lightning, a thunderbolt on his head. What do you mean? That means I am the brother of Pandavas, Yudhishthira and Arjuna and Nakula, Sahadeva, they are all my Pandavas, they are my brothers. And Krishna said, yes, they are all your own brothers. And this secret has not been known to you for a long time. Now I revealed it to you. Now it's not very late. Now join the side of the Pandavas. Become the eldest brother of the Pandavas. Be on their side. And in this way, you will become the king of the whole world. And even Yudhishthira, along with other Pandavas, they will all serve at your feet. And you are the eldest brother amongst the Pandavas. So Karna was in a fix. His eyes were welled with tears. And he thought of Duryodhana for some time. Then he thought of his own brothers for some time. So his mind went back and forth. And he looked at Krishna. And Krishna, he had complete faith in Krishna as the greatest well-wisher of every living being. Whatever Krishna says is true. And it is meant for the well-being of everyone, including him. And he knew Krishna is the wisest person he has ever met in his life. So, and there cannot be a better advice one can give to him. He knew that very well. But after thinking over a while deeply, he told Krishna that it is too late. I have already given a promise to Duryodhana. And besides that, you know, Duryodhana saved my prestige and I have been living with him. And I have been always siding him. To betray him, to betray his trust at the last moment and go to the other side does not befit me. Let me better fight on the side of Duryodhana. So, saying like this, he went back with a very heavy heart back to Duryodhana. So here we can see how his material attachment to Duryodhana blinded his eyes in fulfilling Krishna's instruction. Arjuna also, in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, fails to fulfill Krishna's instruction. But at least he surrendered to Krishna and told Krishna that you enlighten me and open my eyes so that I can fulfill the duty that you want me to do. Whereas Karna failed in his duty but did not take Krishna's shelter. So although he was a very great Danavir, such a Dan did not help him and come to rescue, offering him the right wisdom at the right time. He was bewildered by what is real dharma. He could not think twice in his mind. I am saying that Duryodhana fed me with food. I ate his salt. But he gets his salt from Krishna only. Krishna is the supplier of salt of all the oceans, all over the creation. Krishna is the source of everything. Why should I not surrender to Krishna the Supreme, giving up all the mundane moral principles? He could not think like that. That is why the Lord says, even if you are a very great dhani, you cannot understand me. So, we can see examples for each of this. Veda, tapasa, dhan. There are many great personalities standing as examples for each of this words Krishna uses here. And there are many people who perform such worship in the temples, but somehow they cannot understand Krishna. They are mundane mortals. Bhaktivinoda Saraswati calls them as pious materialists. This pious materialist cannot understand Krishna. Although they may worship the deity forms, they may go to temple, they still cannot understand Krishna. Once in 1958, Prabhupada was in Bombay. He came to know that was the Bhagavad Week celebrations celebrated by some organization. So Bhagavad Saptah was announced in Bombay and it was there in all the newspapers and everything. And Prabhupada got an invitation too, but he didn't go. But later, Prabhupada got the news that the Saptah holders, they were headed by one Shri Ratan Shri, Mr. Ratan Shri. So they were speaking from Bhagavatam 10th canto, but were giving a Mayavadic interpretation to that. When Prabhupada got the news, he became furious. He immediately wrote a letter to Mr. Ratan Shri during the second or third day. He said that, I also got invitation from you for attending this saptah, but I decided not to attend this saptah, and I announced to many others not to go for this saptah. I told them, because the interpretation that is given is an impersonalistic viewpoint. Actually, Srimad Bhagavatam should never be read or heard or spoken by any Mayavadi or impersonalist. Impersonalists can never poke their nose into Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is a monopoly of pure devotees. Only Shuddha Bhaktas, who are Paramahamsas, who are always licking the honey dropping from Krishna's lotus feet, they have the right to speak on Bhagavatam, not others. But here, I am coming to know from the others who attended the Bhagavad week that you are using the Bhagavatam to promote your own viewpoint of impersonalism and monism. Like this. So we can even take a legal action against you, against misusing religious views. So Prabhupada wrote like that. He said, especially Prabhupada made that one point, that you are trying to safeguard the morality of Krishna, because of which you are trying to give such an interpretation to Rasa Leela of Krishna, that Krishna actually didn't do Rasa Leela, and you are giving a Mayavadic interpretation to Rasa Leela. So Prabhupada said, you don't have to say the good name of Krishna, that he hasn't performed Rasa Leela. And Prabhupada said, long ago, Shukadev Goswami and Parishit Samvad, in that Parishit asked this question to Shukadev Goswami, about why did Lord Krishna perform Rasa Leela? Is it religious or irreligious? So that people like you in future may distort this pastime. So already this question was asked long before. You don't have to safeguard the good name of Krishna and try to present him as a great moralist. Lord performed Rasa Leela and it is a reality, it's a truth. And those who are pure devotees can understand it and they can represent it properly. So you don't have to give an impersonalistic viewpoint. Prabhupada condemned it. So there are many people who worship even the deity of Krishna. You go to many temples, they have some temples of Krishna also and Shiva also. They have Durga also. They have all types of deities in some temples. But they are just official worshippers. They don't have any understanding in depth about Krishna's activities. So that is why Nacha Ijjaya, he says. Even if somebody worships Krishna, don't think they are understanding Krishna. There are many people who will come to worship Krishna also. Even the Chaturvidha Bhajante Mam, they say they come to worship Krishna. When their desires are fulfilled, they go away. Like that. But next verse he says, Bhaktya tu ananyaya shakya ahamevam vidorjana. Only by bhakti can I be understood. So this is This is our one way shloka, only way shloka. Like Jesus says, I am the only way. Similarly, Krishna says, the only way to know me is by bhakti. Elsewhere he says, bhaktya mam abhijanati yavan yashchasmi tattvataha. So he compare that shloka with janma karma chane divyam yevam yoveti tattvataha. What is the common word in these two shlokas? Tattvataha. See, the Sanskrit word tattva becomes tattva and becomes toto in English. In toto, knowing the Lord in toto. When can you know the Lord in toto? When can you know the Lord in tattva, in totality? In the real truth? Bhaktya mama bijanati yavan jaschasni tattvata. Yakabhakti says, that also he says, Yakabhakti says. So why I was comparing these two verses? The tattva word is common. In one verse the Lord says, that no, janma karma chame divyam yevam yoveti tattvataha. One who knows my janma karma in tattvataha, only he can come back to me. And another verse he says, how to know him in tattva? Bhaktya mama vijanati yavan yaschasi tattvataha. So in one verse he puts a condition, another verse he gives a clue to fulfill the condition. Like that. So, here he says same thing. Bhaktya tu ananyaya shakya ahabhim amgurjana. Aham yemam vidho arjuna. So by knowing me only one can enter into my abode. You see, in every religion there is jnana, there is yoga, and there is bhakti. In every religion you will find this. Islam explains about an impersonal God as well as a personal God. If you read the Bible, they also talk of heaven. And beyond heaven there is an eternal spiritual world. And Jesus said, my Lord's abode has many mansions, he said. So he said there are many, many mansions, which means the spiritual world is a place of variety. Even in Bible there is an explanation about that. So you can compare many religions and see, you'll find these three elements. Religion stressing on jnana, knowledge aspect. Religion stressing on yoga, which means stressing on tapasya aspect. And religion stressing on bhakti, simple devotion to the Lord. All three are stressed in every religion. So often people hold on to generally jnana or yoga because they are very attractive. And bhakti is often thought of to be simple. But very few people realize bhakti to be the mother of jnana and vairagya. Very few people realize. When Narayana was passing by, he saw mother bhakti and the two children who were like very, very skinny, jnana and vairagya. He asked them, why are you so skinny? Because mother bhakti had not fed the milk to them. You know, when they don't get the milk from their mother's breast, then children are always very skinny. Child who doesn't drink mother's milk, breast milk, he cannot be very nourished and strong. But you see a child who is regularly drinking milk of the mother, he'll be very plumpy, very happy. Very happy and nourished. So, jnana, vairagya, these two become very nourished by what? By bhakti. That's why the verse, Vasudeve Bhagavati, Bhakti Yoga Prayojita, Janayati, Ashi Vairagyam, Jnanam Chaya Dahaitukam. Let us say. These two. So, the Bhaktiya Pananya Ashakya, he is resting on bhakti. So, you can refer to the purport here. See, page number 604. Prabhupada gives 11 evidences to show that Krishna is supreme here. This purport, beginning from, you see in the page 604, Yasya Ganeshwarjita Kalam, he is quoting that. So the first evidence is there. So he is talking about Mahavishnu. And before that, Yasya Ganeshwarjita Kalam, if you see, Prabhupada says Krishna is the source of all the Vishnu forms. He begins with that. And second evidence he is quoting from Gopal Tapani Upanishad. Sachitananda Rupaya Krishnaya Krishna Karine Namo Vedanta Vedyaya Gurave Buddhi Sakshine. Then third he is quoting Krishna Vai Paramam Daivatam. And fourth, Yeko Vashi Sarvaga Krishna Idyaha. That one Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is worshipable. And fifth, Yeko Pisan Bahuda Yo Avabhati. Krishna is one, but he is manifested in unlimited forms and expanded incarnations. And 6th one is famous one, Ishvara Paramakrishna, Sajjananda Vigraha. And then 7th is saying, Yatravatirnam, Krishnakhyam, Param Brahma, Narakriti. And then from Bhagavatam he is quoting. Then 8th below he is quoting, Yetecha Amsha Kalapamsa Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. The 9th is quoting, Matta Paratanam Nanyat. 10th is quoting, Aham Adirhi Devanam. And 11th, Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavan. See, continuously one after another Baba has given quotes to show Krishna is supreme. And then below he explains, therefore the universal form which Krishna showed to Arjuna is not the original form of God. The original is the Krishna form. The universal form with its thousands and thousands of heads and hands is manifest just to draw the attention of those who have no love for God. So people who have no love for God, they become attracted to the great grandeur, magnificent form of the Lord. It's not God's original form. The universal form is not attractive for pure devotees who are in love with the Lord in different transcendental relationships. The Supreme Godhead exchanges transcendental love in His original form of Krishna. Therefore, to Arjuna, who was so intimately related with Krishna in friendship, this form of the universal manifestation was not pleasing. Rather, it was fearful. Arjuna, who was a constant companion of Krishna's, must have had transcendental eyes. He was not an ordinary man. Therefore, he was not captivated by the universal form. So in this way, Prabhupada is establishing Krishna's supremacy here. And besides that, he is also establishing that the spontaneous love for the Lord is the ultimate. And not worship in veneration. So such a Lord is to be found only in Vrindavan. But even when one goes to Vrindavan, one cannot understand. So I was reading a section when Prabhupada brought the Western disciples to India. He brought them to Mayapur, from Mayapur to Delhi, Mayapur to Calcutta, from Calcutta to Delhi, and Delhi to Vrindavan. And all of them were very, very tired. And many of them were having dysentery. And many of them were also having stomachache, headache, severe problems. Many of them were very, very sick when they came to Vrindavan. And Prabhupada expected that all of them will come to hear. First lecture when he was giving, very, very few people were there in the room. And Prabhupada was wondering, where are all the devotees gone? Then he called the devotees and asked, where are other devotees? They said, Prabhupada, some of them are sleeping. And some of them have gone to do marketing. Gone to shopping. They gone for shopping in Vrindavan. And some of them have gone to the holy temples and pilgrimage sites in Vrindavan. In this way, all the devotees are spread out here and there. And Prabhupada said, when you come to a holy place, what is your duty? You should hear from a sadhu. And the sadhu is sitting here. So they should come here. Where are they going? Yeah. Call them all here, he shouted. So next day morning, Prabhupada's room quarters was flooded with devotees. There was not even a place to put a mustard stick. Many of them were peeping from the window. There was no place. It was so crowded. And then Prabhupada began to speak. So he spoke. I have made some lessons from Prabhupada. Totally, 8 lessons Prabhupada talks about how to see Vrindavan. Prabhupada gives 8 wonderful lessons. Anyway, before that Prabhupada gave a chastisement, I should tell you that also. When they came, Prabhupada said, see what he says here, I'll read it as it is. Prabhupada said, the tapasvis in Vrindavan go naked, even in the cold. They are determined not to take birth again for material life. And Prabhupada described how the living entity before birth remains cramped within the womb, tied by hands and feet, and thrown in the ocean. It's like that, he said. You tie someone with hands and feet and throw him in the ocean. What is his condition? It's like that. And worms within the mother's body bite the skin of the embryo and the living entity suffers. Because the Maya deludes us to think that we are happy. Prabhupada explained, we have to again enter into the womb of the mother. And although in one lifetime we may be a wealthy human being, in the next life we may become a bird or a hog or a dog, he said. So, This life is not for enjoyment. This life is for tapasya. Actually, Prabhupada understood that they were going here and there for shopping and enjoying. And then Prabhupada is talking about preaching. So now here he comes to this point, very valuable lessons. Prabhupada is saying here, Vrindavan is for the Paramahamsas. This is the first thing he said. So although devotees are running here and there, visiting various temples of Vrindavan to imbibe the Vrindavan spirit, no. They were thinking they had heard a lot from Krishna book, and they heard from Prabhupada that the Vrindavan Dham is Chintamani Dham, you know. As soon as they came to Vrindavan, despite all their sickness and everything, they were wandered all around to see the Goswami temples and everything. But Prabhupada here gave them the ultimatum. He explained to them. See, Vrindavan is for Paramahamsas. Even if you run here and there and try to see Vrindavan, you can't see Vrindavan. The very first lesson he said. So this should be the understanding of a person who wants to go to Vrindavan. So that one doesn't imagine oneself to be qualified to see Vrindavan. Then second he said, you cannot see Vrindavan with Vishaya or material spirit. The test is, how much you have conquered over eating, sleeping and mating. Don't think you can just come to Vrindavan and become a Goswami. One who comes to Vrindavan with a material spirit will take birth as a dog or a monkey in Vrindavan. That is his punishment. But the dogs here are also Vaishnavas. So Prabhupada says here, that's why in the beginning I was singing the song. What was the song I was singing? Gauranga Bharati Habe. Yeah. Because Vishaya Chalya Kabe Shuddha Habe Mana Kabe Hamaheribo Sri Vrindavan. So Vrindavan can be seen only by a person who has given up the Vishaya, Vishaya Chalya. One whose heart has become Shuddha Habe. So Prabhupada is calling the word Vishaya or material spirit. What is the test? The test is how much you have conquered over Nidra Ahara Vihara Gadi Vijitav. What song is? Nidra Ahara Vihara Gadi Vijitav Chatyanta Nauchayav Lokanam Hitakadi Nau Tribhuvane. So they have conquered over eating, sleeping and Nidra, Ahara, Vihara. Adi. All that they had conquered. So these are the material urges that the living entity has. You know, every living entity is thinking, oh, when will I get my food? When you get your food, when you eat your full stomach, then what's the next thing? Want to go to sleep. Immediately, you're knocked down. After the night. And then after you sleep well, if you have slept for 8 hours, then you get a lot of strength in the body, because the whole food turns into energy. Then vihar after that. One wants to enjoy life after that. So nidra, ahar, vihar. Only the order is a little different here. Ahar, nidra, vihar. Isn't it? Ahar, nidra, vihar. So everyone wants to do like that in life. And people are expert in this, and they want to do this over and over again. But a devotee should conquer these urges. That means a devotee should be a mithabuk. Is it a mithabuk means? Mithabuk. Mithabuk means it. Yeah. Mithabuk is one of the 26 qualities. Mithabuk. Yeah. Mithabuk. Mithabuk is one of the 26 qualities of a devotee. Mithabuk means one who eats only moderately. Yeah. One who does not eat too much. Like that. So he eats food only to generate enough shakti in the body to serve Krishna nicely. How do you know you have overeaten or undereaten or properly eaten? How do you know? When you overeat, what happens? You're knocked off. Fall asleep when you overeat. And when you eat them properly, then that turns into energy. Then you can be very dynamic and very active. That is the test of whether you have eaten moderately. One fellow was asking, how to know that, you know, you have to eat only half the stomach and 25% stomach with water and 27% stomach with air, you know. So the proof is, you know, how you feel after eating. That's the proof. Yeah? Is it? Yeah, but next time you can be careful. If you know that you have done it 10 times, at 11th time you can be careful. It's very easy to say, but we, when we sit to eat, then we forget. Yeah. Isn't it? Nidra hara viharaka. So same thing Prabhupada is saying here. That this is the test. Don't think I can just come to Vrindavan and become a Goswami. So he says, if one comes to Vrindavan as a material spirit, then one will become a dog or a monkey. In one of his writings, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says something very peculiar. You will be surprised. He says that, don't come to Vrindavan to see some women bathing in the holy spots. So he says like that in one of his writings. So that means, even when a person is going to a holy place, you know, to do parikrama, to drink charanamrit, to roll in the vrajraj, even there the vishaya mentality is so strong that one may want to seek some sense gratification, even in a holy place. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says one place. So, one should enter into the holy dham with a totally transcendental spirit. So one should relinquish the material consciousness before entering into Vrindavan. Otherwise, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says another thing. He says, there is a thin layer which is covering the Vrindavan, which will not allow you to see the actual Vrindavan. Vrindavan is Chintamani Dham, but you cannot see it because of your material vision. And what is the material vision? There are two types of mentalities you can have. Enjoying mentality and serving mentality. When one has the enjoying mentality, that leads to many, many things. For example, why only Vrindavan? Even before going to Vrindavan, even right here. If you have enjoying mentality, you will see that all devotees are meant for my enjoyment. So I will exploit and enjoy them. One of things like that. And you will see the devotees with material vision. And you will find fault with every devotee, practically. And you will only see their material qualifications. And you will appreciate or discourage people based on their material qualifications. Like that. And we cannot appreciate anything in spiritual life. And we will think very high of ourselves. We can see all this is due to material vision, like that. Similarly, when one has a serving attitude, not enjoying mentality, that leads to many, many things. When one has a serving attitude, one considers everyone to be greater than oneself. One gives up selfish attitude, one becomes selfless. One wants to serve others, one loves others, one does not see any material qualification. One sees everyone to be part and parcel of Krishna, you know, associate of Krishna. Totally a diametrically opposite vision. So even before going to Vrindavan, we can see what is my mentality. Whether we are having a serving mentality or enjoying mentality. Enjoying spirit or serving spirit. So that is the second thing Prabhupada talks about. That one should give up this kind of enjoying spirit. You know, if you go to Vrindavan temple, for example, Krishna Balaram Mandir, as soon as you go there, immediately, you know, right opposite to Krishna Balaram temple, there are so many things, eatables available there. You know, one may immediately go there. Yeah. There is so much music going on there. Actually, even in a holy place now, one can get distracted very easily. If one is not serious about going back to God or serving the Dham, actually we call it as serving the Dham. Like Karthik, we are going to go to Vrindavan Dham. If you don't go with the mood of serving the Dham, then you don't benefit much. We are thinking, you know, what is this? You know, just look at this street, you know. There is gutter passing on both the sides. It's stinking. Just look at those pigs, how they are fighting. Horrible. What kind of Vrindavan is Vrindavan? I thought Vrindavan is made up of Chintamani, gems, isn't it? I thought it's all made up of Chintamani stones, transcendental stones. I heard so much. But here I am seeing pigs fighting. And you find a big bull is coming in between. You find all that. And you find everywhere dirt and dust. And you find dirty waters and everything. So we can't see the actual dham. Because it is covered over by a layer. Because we are looking at the dham with enjoying mentality. Why is the dham not giving me pleasure for my eyes? That's our question. I need the dham to satisfy my heart. You know, I should be fine. I should be hearing the flute sound of Krishna. What is the sound? You know, I'm not able to hear any sound of Krishna's flute. Okay, let me straight away go to Seva Kunch. You know, that is the place where Radha and Krishna are most manifest. I heard people say, don't go to Seva Kunch after 7 o'clock at night. Okay, 6:30 I'll go and see whether Radhakrishna can be seen there, you know. Sent from the bush with the binocular. You will never see. It's not possible. Try to see Krishna like that. You will never see Krishna. So because you have an enjoying spirit. And you can see in our heart how much enjoying mentality we have. And it's difficult to see the Dham like that. That's the Prabhupada says like this. Third he says, people come to Vrindavan to give up all material anxieties and family life. So one should not be afraid. He should never mind what is going to happen. There are many devotees in Vrindavan who are not disturbed by heat or cold. So here Prabhupada says, what should be the disposition of a visitor to Vrindavan? We should be disposed in such a way that we should give up all our material anxieties and family life, which means when we are in family, actually we take on many anxieties. What about my son's education? What about my daughter's marriage? What about the sale of that house? Nobody is buying it. What about my business? We have so many anxieties when we are at home. But as soon as you enter Vrindavan, what should you do? At least during the yatra time, give up all anxieties. Give up worries about your family. At least those 10 days, you are property of Srimati Radharani. Hand yourself to her. You are in her service those days. So one should enter Vrindavan completely giving up all material anxieties. And one should not be afraid. One should not be afraid that, what is this, I forgot to bring my mobile. I don't know what's happening at home. It's good that you forgot mobile. It's only Krishna who made you forget the mobile to carry. Because he wanted you to be free from anxieties. Isn't it? So, at least in the Dham, you can be, free from the sound of the mobile. Otherwise, you may be physically in the Dham, but mentally in your business. Isn't it? So, don't be afraid, he's saying. You should never mind what is going to happen. And then there are many devotees in Vrindavan who are undisturbed by heat or cold, he's saying. See, Vrindavan has the highest scorching heat. And it's cutting cold in winter. But you'll find there are so many people living in Govardhan, foot of Govardhan. And so many people living all over Vrindavan. Parikrama Bhati will see. Just absorbed, totally absorbed in singing Krishna's names, Radha's names. They are spending their life. So we are only occasionally visiting and coming. Why should we think that, it is too cold, it is too hot, we occasionally visit Vrindavan. Whatever be the condition, we should tolerate it. Which means, just like Krishna says, Matra Atpa Shastra Kaunteyam, Shitoshna Sukha Dukkada, Agama Apayano Anitya, Tham Sadikshasra. So don't blame the Dham. When you go to the Dham, don't curse that it is too much cold, too much heat. Whatever is coming to you in the Dham is actually Radharani's mercy. Accept it like that. And with that consciousness one should proceed. That is why one acharya is praying. He is saying that when I am walking in the Dham, there are pebbles and thorns which prick my feet. So when a thorn or pebble of Vrindavan is pricking my feet, that pleasure I get is far more superior to the pleasure obtained by a jnani when he gets the Brahmananda. He says, Brahmananda means a kind of great relief from cycle of birth and death. But he says, when the Dham stone is pricking my feet, it gives me so much joy, he's saying. So he doesn't feel the pain. Just like sometimes a child is pinching the mother in the cheeks, you've seen that? Or slapping. The mother doesn't feel any pain. She feels very nice because the child is doing out of love. Similarly, in the Dham, when a devotee is walking, the pebbles and thorns which are pricking the feet, the devotee doesn't feel that it is a pain at all. Like that a devotee feels. Gaurav Babaji, when some boys would throw stones at him, he would say, Hey Krishna, see your boyfriends, how they are throwing stones at me. I'll go and report to Nanda Maharaj, he would say. That was his consciousness. So he always saw that the boys, the Vajrabhasis, are actually Krishna's associates. He saw like that. So this is third lesson. Fourth lesson he is saying, but another risk in Vrindavan is to meet those who talk of the gopis but are not free from smoking bidis. They are sahajyas. We have to see who is a devotee by his personal behavior. If one is seeking money and bidis and women, and talking of the gopis, then what is his position? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never talked of the gopis publicly. So in Vrindavan there are many people who talk of the gopis. They talk of the most confidential pastimes of Radha and Krishna, Ashtakalya Leela, from morning to night, the eight prahars, they talk about that. And how Krishna wakes up in the morning, beginning from that. They talk in elaborate detail about each of the gopis. In fact, each of the eight gopis, they wear a particular color dress, the particular attire and everything. So they go into the depths of those things. If you see Gaudiya Vaishnavas, especially in our ISKCON movement, we don't go into the depths of those things because we feel, first we have to know I am not the body, I am the soul. We don't even know that properly. What to speak of Krishna's Ashtakali Leela. On the other hand, you will find them smoking bidis. So Prabhupada says, what kind of devotion is this devotion? Cheating devotion. Even Bhaktivinoda Saraswati in his times, once he said, the Radha Kund is becoming Naraka Kund, he said once. Because Radha Kund is surrounded by so many people living there as Babaji, so-called bogus Babajis. But they were indulging in illicit sex, indulging in intoxication, taking bhang and charas and all that. They were doing all kinds of nonsense, even in his times. So he was condemning them. And Prabhupada also warned his disciples that you people are leaving me and you are wandering here and there to going to Radha Kund and different places, but you don't know the danger. There are so many people, sahajyas, who will mislead you. They will tell you that I will give you your Swarup Pranali mantra, by which you can get your Swarupa very easily. So they will cheat you. So Prabhupada warned them that they don't have the standard of a devotee. So don't go, he said. Then first lesson is saying, the real Vrindavan is not to eat prasadam and sleep, but to follow the advice of Vrindavan Chandra Krishna and broadcast his message. That is his message. That is Vrindavan. So this is for those devotees who are sleeping. Some devotees are sleeping now after coming to Dham. So for them, what do you say? The real Vrindavan is not to eat prasadam and going to sleep, but to follow the advice of Vrindavan Chandra. So I remember going for the Vrindavan Yatra for the first time. So that time His Holiness Raghunath Swami was speaking. So he was telling, now we have put our feet in the Dham. This is the greatest earthly miracle. You cannot think of any miracle. Because Srimati Radharani doesn't allow anybody to enter the Dham very easily. And somehow or other, by her mercy, we are here in the Dham. And you will see that nobody can stay in the Dham for a long time. You may stay about 1 week or 10 days, and then you will be thrown out. Even if you want to, you can't stay. It's a short time she is giving permission. So he said, this is not much different from given a brief entry into the spiritual world. Somebody tells you, Krishna tells you, okay, I'll take you in the spiritual world for a short while. You see everything and you go back. So like that. It's like a brief entry into the spiritual world. So he said, every moment is very important. One should not waste even one moment in the Dham. He said, you should always be chanting Krishna's names. And he was telling, everything you do in the Dham is 100 times multiplied. Whether it is good things or bad things, the effect will be 100 times multiplied. So that is Vrindavan Dham. In Mayapur Dham, good things are multiplied 100 times and bad things are not multiplied. Mayapur Dham. That's why it's called as Audariya Dham. That's the difference, one difference between Vrindavan and Mayapur. Anyway, in Vrindavan, so because good things are multiplied 100 times, so certainly we should chant Krishna's names. But because bad things are also multiplied 100 times, it is better to replace the bad things with good things and get it more multiplied when one goes through them. So when we all heard it, we became very fearful. Immediately we took our beads and we started chanting constantly, every moment. One time we went to Kamyakavan, and there he warned, before you enter, all of you, please be careful. Don't put your feet inside before you are told to, he said. And you're wondering, what is the problem? Everyone was standing and he said, right from this point onwards, as soon as you enter inside, whatever you desire, it will be immediately fulfilled. Anything that is going on in your mind, it will be fulfilled. So don't desire bad things, he said. That is the one in which Tulasi, one Tulasi's deity is also there, that red dress, beautiful dresses. So what is the kamikam and nothing? So there are many places in Vrindavan like that, where one's all one desires can be fulfilled. So when one goes to dham, one should take full advantage. One should as many rounds as possible, one should chant like that. So Prabhupada said, one should not sleep. Here what we do in our places now, so when there is some time and there is no program in the evening, you may think, you know, you may relax early. Or even in the afternoon, sometimes you go to sleep. Because you think, oh, there is nothing immediately urgent to do, you know. Whatever is immediately to be done, I have done it. We tend to sleep. But in the dham, one should never sleep in the dham. Of course, it doesn't mean you should not take rest. One should get enough rest. You know, if you have slept only 3 hours in the night, you know, then you have to compensate at least 1 or 1.5 hours in the daytime. But one should not waste one's time uselessly in sleeping. Anyway, it's not a very difficult job to do sleeping. Anybody can sleep. But a chant is a difficult thing, and you will gain benefit. So one should try to take advantage. That's a proper selling. That's not Vrindavan. Sleeping is not Vrindavan. Vrindavan, then the sixth lesson is saying, Vrindavan Dham is worshipable. Don't commit an offense here. Take it as Chintamani Dham. Narottama Das Thakur says, to see Vrindavan is not possible with Vishaya. So, we should take the shelter of Gaurnika, become cleansed of eating, sleeping and mating. Then you will see Vrindavan. Don't commit offenses here. This is a special influence in Vrindavan. This is the sixth offense. I mean, sixth point lesson is teaching. Vrindavan Dham is worshipable. Don't commit offenses here. So how can one commit offenses? In Dham when we go, overeating in the Dham is considered an offense. There are many offenses like this, they said. Actually there are Dham apradhas, there are 10. But outside that also there are many other offenses which are not actually said with the Dham. Like, you know, to measure the dham is an aparadh, we know that, isn't it? To calculate, to see the dham as material is aparadh. So there are many, like here he is talking about the three things, eating, sleeping and mating. To waste one's time uselessly in sleeping or overeating or indulging in sex life in the dham, all these are considered offenses. That's why Prabhupada is especially saying these three. One can become cleansed of eating, sleeping and mating, he is saying here, especially. And one is in the dham. It is said when one goes to dham, one should only eat what is needed for getting the energy to perform tapasya in the dham. Actually, why we eat in the dham? Because we need the strength to execute some vows when we are in the dham, especially chanting more rounds and everything. So one should follow such things. And it says don't commit offenses in the dham, which means when one is in the dham, one may behave normally as one is behaving at one's own place. And one may commit offenses very easily. So the purpose is warning here that you are going out in the market, you are meeting different people, you may meet sahajyas, you may learn some wrong thing and you may do some wrong thing and you may commit offenses here. Don't commit offenses. And it is very dangerous. And the seventh purpose saying, ordinary persons therefore were advised to visit a holy place like Vrindavan for no more than 3 days. Otherwise they would become slack and return to their sinful activities. Better to come, Prabhupada said, become purified and leave on the fourth day. This is generally for any holy place it is said. Go for 3 days only. So, when you stay for 3 days, you are very serious. You know that I am here only for 3 days. I should take full advantage. I'll be, you know, put your full devotion and do nicely. Fourth day you leave the place. But generally we stay 10 days because there are many festivals and we are also with great devotees. So we hope and pray that we don't allow our consciousness to degrade further. When we are with devotees, we may protect. But generally this is a standard. When people go to holy places, they don't go for more than 3 days to visit a place, go around. You will see that. This is a general standard like that. The idea is, if you are going to stay beyond the fourth day, then don't commit offenses. And then don't become slack. That's the point. And then eighth, that's the last lesson he's saying. And the worst offense to Vrindavan he is to commit illicit sex here. So do not come and play hide and seek with Krishna. He sees with his eyes the sun, and he is also in your heart. Krishna knows everything. Those who want to be devotees have to be sincere. They shouldn't play tricks, because Krishna knows everything. Be sincere with Krishna and his representative. So this is the last lesson he is saying. So he is saying, be sincere when you come to the holy place. Like you see, it is said, in our Krishna Balaram Mandir, if you see, there are many foreigners who come there during this time, during the Kartik time. Actually, worldwide devotees come to Vrindavan during Kartik. And during Mars, Gaurapurnima, they go to Mayapur. So this is a general standard like that. So when we go to the holy place, sometimes we may lose track of for what purpose we came to the holy place. Like you see in Krishna Balaram Mandir, they will be doing kirtan, you know, there will be a big party doing kirtan, and all people will be dancing there. You will find sometimes there are men and women dancing together also. You find like that. There is no regulation. There is no control, and nobody controls, because crowd is mixed crowd, you know. Sometimes you don't know who is a man, who is a woman, all people are covering their heads, you know. Everyone is covering with the same chadar, you know. So one has to be very careful when you go to the holy place, not to get distracted. There are people who become distracted by white women who have come from America. They are also dancing. It is said some of the women that they come only to hunt for men. Some of the women, they get married. Many of the brahmacharis, they get married and go to America like that. In Vrindavan it has happened. Many times it has happened in the past. Similarly, there are also American men who want Indian women to settle, because they have attraction for the black, because they have too much white. So people in this way become attracted to man and woman. That is why Prabhupada is specifically using the word illicit sex here. We are not going to Dham to do this. Even not only in Vrindavan, even when we come to temple, we have to know, we have to totally forget the carnal pleasures. When you are coming in front of Radha Krishna, government deities, when you are coming to ISKCON, when you come to temple, one should not think of these things. Actually, these are all routines in one's life which will happen automatically. When one has to get married, the age will come, one will get married automatically. When one has to get job, one will get job. When one has to have a child, there will be child. One has to take responsibilities, they will take responsibilities. But when one comes to God, we should know to put aside these things away and just focus on this one thing, Paro Dharma. We have come for only developing love for Radha and Krishna. That is the purpose for which we have come. Why to bring in the other things, other dirty things? They should never be brought. When one goes to the holy place, especially like this Kartik time, it's a very, very holy time. In the Kartik month, any devotion service performed in that month is Radharani's month, it is said. It's a very special month, very dear to Srimati Radharani. So any service performed at that time is multiplied thousands of times. It's very, very valuable. So one should not get foolishly distracted by attraction for eating, delicacies, or attraction to the opposite sex, or attraction to hearing from some Sahajiya Babaji somewhere living in Radhakund, or reading some books which are not authorized by Prabhupada, or ISKCON, buying some secret books from the Dham, and reading those books, reading those literatures. We can get distracted by many, many things when we go to Dham. So one should put aside all the lower tendencies and learn to act on a spiritual platform. So in this way, Prabhupada gives many valuable instructions for one who wants to understand the Dham. So I spoke these things because bhakti atva ananyaya shakya. Krishna says here, only by bhakti one can understand. But what is bhakti? That we have to hear from a devotee like Prabhupada. From these eight instructions we can understand how one should approach the Dham. So Prabhupada in conclusion says how one should always be protected by a very great Vaishnava, Paramahamsa Vaishnava, when one goes to the Dham. By hearing the instructions from him, by maintaining one's prayerful attitude, by relinquishing sense gratification, by absorbing oneself with devotional vibration, and always remaining in spiritual consciousness that I am in the holy place, I am in a Divya Dham. In this way, one can gradually get the eyes to appreciate Vrindavan. and one will also get the service attitude. Actually, you see, all over the scriptures you will find there are many promises made. If you do this at this particular month, you will get this. On this particular day, if you do, you will get that. You know why? Because Shastras know the human beings have always got a tendency to postpone good things and to put the good things last. These two things. You know, we put the most important things as the 11th priority. And we have many other priorities. Oh, I have to attend to this important thing. This is very urgent. That is more urgent, most urgent. I have so many things. And then Krishna assumes the last priority. Like that. The most important things go to the last priority. Like all of us can ask ourselves, how much time we get time to read Prabhupada books. We think, you know, nobody is pushing me from behind, you know. And it immediately goes to the last priority. And we hardly read. Similarly, important things, spiritual things, you always put it last. And we also tend to postpone it. When it keeps coming in front of you, you keep postponing it like that. So Shastras purposefully highlight the holy months. This is a holy day, this is a holy month, and this time, it's like, you see, when you're going in a shop, when you're going through a shop, you know, if there are so many dresses, nice dresses hanging there, you will never be attracted. But you find a big billboard there. 50% off. Only during Diwali. You find like that. Immediately your attention is caught. Even people who don't generally buy, even they see that and get attracted. Come, let's go inside and see. Like that. Huh? Yeah, buy two, take one. Such offers they give, isn't it? So you become very attracted, isn't it? So in the same way, the Shastras have prescribed many months. In this month, now this Adhik Mass is going on. Adhik Mass is on. So it's a very, very special month. Same way every month, every festival or month. There are some months when there are no festivals, you will see that, you know, the calendar. Practically no festivals. But whenever there is a festival or whenever there is a special month, one should take full advantage. And we are going in the Radharani's month, Kartik month, to Vrindavan and to Barsana also. You can imagine, it's very, very special. So, this learning this 8 lessons from Prabhupada is very valuable for us. In what mood one should approach Krishna and what mood one should approach Vrindavan to actually understand the Lord. Tatvena. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. I think this is only in the past, but now Maharaj has made a change in the menu now. The recent meeting, there was a meeting in which Maharaj himself expressed that our prasad is becoming too opulent and it is not good when we are visiting the Dham to have such too much opulent prasad. Actually, when Maharaj began speaking like that, then the devotees agreed. They said, okay, now what are Maharaj says? Because there were three sweets. Sometimes. And I think they are going to make it one sweet, I think now. Instead of three sweets, there will be one sweet. Instead of several items, there will be some less items. Otherwise, morning and evening will be same. And in the afternoon, they are making some changes. Because some senior devotees have felt that, no, prasad can be a little mild. We don't need such opulent prasad. Sometimes, you know, it's not just opulent, it also spoils your stomach. And you know, you can't be in good consciousness in the Dham. You know, you have gone for a purpose and the purpose is not served. This time you will see something different. Devotees, we always appreciate somebody who is singing well or preaching well or doing some activity well. We highlight those things, you know. Ketrishna is saying about Vedaya, Tapasa, Dhanina. These qualities are actually highlighted. Is it wrong to highlight some of the specialities of devotees? I don't think there's anything wrong in appreciating devotee for some special talent. There's nothing wrong in that. That is the reason why Krishna is highlighting this verse. He's saying, Na dhanena, na chayijaya, na tapas, na vede. Why he is saying? Because people sometimes tend to think, if somebody is a very good Vedic chanter, that means he's already achieved God. Yeah. Somebody is performing severe tapasya, that means he has already done it. People think like that. That's why Krishna is clarifying, no. If you have perfected any of these things, you still haven't achieved me. That is why specifically he is saying this. That is the importance. That's why we may be having any of the material talents, but none of them is helpful, Krishna says. And the actual bhakti, that is why we read the proper instructions about what actual devotion is. You have Vishvapanishad here, Prabhupada explains what is Tattvata in that. Vishvapanishad here, I will read. To know Krishna and to know his energies and to know three things Prabhupada says here. What is the meaning of knowing Krishna in Tattva? This is mantra 4, last point in the purport. First, before that he is saying like this, all power is obtained from the Lord, therefore each particular power must be utilized to execute the will of the Lord, not otherwise and everything. And then he is saying the Lord can be known by one who has adopted such a submissive service attitude. And then he says here, perfect knowledge means knowing the Lord in all his features, knowing his potencies and knowing how these potencies work by his will. These are the three things we should know. This is Tattvata. Knowing the Lord in all his features, which means to know that Krishna expands as Mahavishnu, you know, Garbhadaksha Vishnu, Kshiradaksha Vishnu, and also as different incarnations, Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Narsingha, different forms like that. And the Lord also has other, you know, separated parts and parcels, you know, Sva, Amsha, and different tattvas. Yeah. Paramatma and Brahman features also, yeah. And knowing his potencies, different shaktis, Lord Ichcha Shakti, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti, different shaktis are there. Knowing his potencies, Parasya Shakti. Also, from the 7th chapter, we read now, Rasaham of Sukhamsaya, Lord is the essence and cause of everything, knowing that. And knowing how these potencies work by his will. So this is perfect knowledge. So this appears in the mantra. Yeah. Actually, Prabhupada uses this tattva. Tattvata means perfect knowledge. In actually, the same thing he repeats in many places. Principle, eh? Knowing Krishna as it is. Yeah. But then another place, Prabhupada says the same thing when he talks about knowing Krishna as it is. The same three things he says. Once you know this thing. Yeah. So you remember this definition he gives, very beautiful definition. No more questions, 9:15 now.